All right, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 118, and keep your Bibles open. You know, I know you want to get home and start cooking your turkeys, okay? But I also want to give you just a little something here tonight. We have to go through several verses of the Bible to see this. You're dealing with a text and a subject tonight, and I'm confident of this. God's going to speak to you in one area of this message, and He's going to speak to somebody else in another area of this message, and speak to somebody else in another area of this message. And what you have to do is you have to endure what the other ones are hearing so they can get that piece that belongs to them while they wait for you to be able to get the piece that belongs to you. Okay? And so you may say, well, okay, that doesn't fit me, that doesn't fit me. Oh, that's good. And then you can run with that one, and then we'll give a couple more, and everybody can go home, and everybody's gotten something. At the table, when turkey is served, some people like the drumstick, some people like the wings, somebody like the breast meat, some like cranberries, some like dressing, some like the sweet potato casserole. See? Everybody gets what they want, so you're going to get one of those tonight. Psalm 118, look at verse 29. The Bible says, oh, give thanks. You would know I would preach on Thanksgiving, wouldn't you? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Okay? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Now, the subject of this sermon tonight is very simple. What are we to be thankful for? What are we to thank God for? Now, we know we're to be thankful. We know that because the Lord's will for us in the Scripture is, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God's will that we're to be thankful. I used to teach, He said be thankful in all things, but He didn't say to be thankful for all things. So when you break your leg, you don't have to thank God for that. But in the broken leg, you can thank God. But then I read Ephesians 5:20 and found out I was wrong. Because in Ephesians 5:20, He says that we are to give thanks to God for all things. Always, He said, for all things. That's the quote, always for all things. And I'm like, oh, brother, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Because there's some things that are hard to be thankful for. I mean, when they first hit you. You know, tonight, thank God, we can be thankful for Diane because she's had 3 cancer-free checkups. But at the same time, there's 2 Kluge boys here, and they have to be thankful, and their dad didn't get a clean checkup. He's getting worse. That can be hard. But that's the will of God. And He said, always for all things. Now, one of the reasons that men stray so far from God, turn to idolatry, get into evolution, and get deep into some really filthy, wicked sin is because they quit being thankful. He said in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, He said this, He said, for when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. I'm just quoting it. But when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And then what follows is idolatry and evolution and homosexuality and every kind of wicked deed that you read about in the newspaper and listen to at the 10 o'clock news. When Jesus was here on the earth, He referred to His generation as a wicked and adulterous generation. I don't suppose they were any different, really, than we are today. And I think one of the reasons is they weren't any more thankful back then than our society is today. Didn't Jesus one time in Luke chapter 17 go out and heal 10 lepers and only one of them turned back to give Him thanks? There were 90% of them just went on and just took it and weren't even thankful. Kind of like an entitlement program. You see that? Now, I'm aware that our society is a thankless society in many regards, so we need to stand apart from our society and be thankful. And so, therefore, we need to know what to thank God for, what to be thankful for. And in the Bible, we can find some things. You know, you're probably running through your mind, well, you don't have to say, I can thank Him for my breath and thank Him for all these other things. That's true, but the Bible actually shows you some things that we ought to be thanking God for. All right, here's the first one. In Psalm 118, verse 29, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. So we thank Him, first of all, for His goodness. You know what? God is good. He really is. I mean, that is His nature. Goodness. And His nature never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, even when you're out of sorts with God, He's still good. The Bible says that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So, you would think that He wants to come down on you with a ton of bricks when you're out of sorts with Him, but, you know, a lot of times He's good to you and His goodness brings Him right back to you. You know why we can take such great confidence in Romans 8:28? For we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. He didn't say all things are good. He said all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You know why we can take great confidence in that verse? We don't take great confidence in Romans 8:28 because all things work out good for Christians. I mean, you've had your bumps in the road and you're up there on the mountaintop and times down in the valley. And let me tell you something. If you're cruising around on the mountaintop right now and floating around in the clouds, just wait. Because your valley is coming. And I don't say that with glee. I don't say that to spoil your great day. I say that to say this. Romans 8:28 is still in the Bible, and we take confidence in Romans 8:28 not because our circumstances are always good, but because the God of our circumstances is always good. And He's not going to change. So you may be in a situation even right now. I say that there's Kyle and Stephen. That's not a good situation. With your father in the hospital, sick. That's not a good situation. I understand that. But you know something? The God who is over your father right now is good. And that doesn't change. He's as good to Diane as He is to Todd. And listen, until you and I are where Todd is today, you will never know what the goodness of God does to you at a time like that. But I guarantee you from the Bible, He is good. He is good. Hadn't He been good to you? I mean, He's been good to me. We sang that song. I'm glad you picked that song tonight. Count Your Blessings. You know, if you've had one of those days where you're a little bit down, you know, just sit back tomorrow while your wife is banging pots and pans in the kitchen, wondering why you're not in there peeling the sweet potatoes, and just start thinking of all the many, many good things God has done for you. Now, God's not good because of the good things. He's good because He's good, and He does good things. All right, we can also, according to this verse, not only thank Him for His goodness, we can thank Him for His mercy. As He says here, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. When you read the Old Testament looking for the word thanks, over and over again, the most common reason that men thank God in the Old Testament is because of His goodness and because of His mercy. You're going to find it repeated over and over again. May I tell you something? If it weren't for the mercy of the Lord, we'd none of us be here tonight. I don't know about you, but I know about me. I'd have been toast a long time ago. God would have said, you know what, punk, you're done. Listen, God flooded out Noah's generation for doing what we've been doing. I don't mean, let's say, you and me, but what we've been doing in this country. He flooded out an entire generation, save 8 people. Listen, God would be justified tonight wiping out our country just like He did Sodom and Gomorrah. Totally justified if He wanted to do that. And He wouldn't even have to send angels down here and tell us to flee to Mexico before He did it. Or Cuba, or wherever you can go. He would be totally justified. But because of His mercy, He spared us. And I'll tell you something, man. If this country had any reason tomorrow to be thankful toward God, this country has great reason to be thankful for God's mercy. You know, he's been merciful to us, hadn't he? He's been merciful to us. I was a little bit older than you, some of you, when my father died. I was, whatever it was, what was I in 1996? How many years ago was that? 17? So I was 42 when my father passed away. So I'm older than some of you. Benny was, what, 16 when his dad passed away? But when my dad died, it was this quick. It was a Wednesday night. He was driving home from working out on a treadmill, which is what he was supposed to do because he'd had bypass surgery 6 years before. When his heart exploded, he had what's called a myocardial infarction. When the EMTs got there, there was nothing they could do. They worked on it for 45 minutes, but you don't revive a heart that's exploded. Of course, they didn't know that. They did what they're trained to do. He was dead. When your father is removed from your life that quickly, you don't get to say anything else. It's over. It's you. Anything you'd hoped to do or wanted to do, you don't get that time. And I've often thought, we pray every Wednesday night for somebody that has cancer in here. That cancer is a merciful disease in some respects. You know why? Even though your spouse or your father or your mother or your loved one or your aunt, uncle, whatever that relationship is to your friend, dies with the cancer, you know it. You know it for a period of time. And if you use your time wisely, it gives you time to spend together in a very close way, dealing with very, very special aspects. I don't always agree. I'm not there yet, so we'll see, okay? But I don't always agree with doing everything you can to do for the sake of prolonging a losing battle. And the reason is it interferes with the quality of time that you can spend together while you still have the time. Do you understand that? And I say that it's merciful in this respect. It gives you the time to do some very, very close things with each other while you still have the time. And I consider that many times to be the mercy of God. Let's go on to another subject. Let's go to Psalm 97. Psalm 97. Here's another thing for which you can be thankful. Psalm 97, and look at verse 12. Rejoice, Psalm 97, look at verse 12. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, that's you. And give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. You can thank God for His holiness. 1 Chronicles, you don't turn there, 1 Chronicles 16:35 says, thank Him for His holy name. For His holy name. You know, I thank God for His holiness. Think about it. Every exalted being in the universe, when it gets exalted, gets corrupted. Do you ever notice that? It gets lifted up in pride, and then pride goeth before destruction, and haughty spirit before a fall. They all come down. Our God has never been that way. He is exalted in His holiness, and He has remained holy. He has been exalted in His holiness, and He has remained righteous. God, in His exaltation, has never done anything wrong. That is amazing. All power corrupts. What do they say? Power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely, but not with God. It never corrupted Him. That's an amazing thing. I really appreciate our God for never doing anything wrong. There's no legitimate accusation that can be leveled against God. Every man at some point, many men, I should say every man, but many men at some point get so frustrated in this life that they will raise a fist to God and say, why me? And may I tell you something? God is justified every time he is called into question because he's holy and he doesn't make mistakes. That's a tremendous thing. Jesus Christ was a man, but he's God manifest in the flesh. He was proven faultless at his own trial by Herod, by Pilate, by the thief on the cross, by the centurion. Surely this was a righteous man, he said. I love that. I am glad my God has never messed up. Never. Never made a mistake. And as a result of Jesus Christ maintaining his holiness and righteousness throughout, his name, he said, thank you for his holy name. His name has the power to save and the power to heal. When they were calling the name of Jesus Christ, lame were walking, blind were seeing, dead men were raising. All that still works. It's just that God's not dealing with Israel the same way that he has before. So you're not getting the sign to that nation. But I'll tell you what, the name of God is something. I'll tell you what, every person is gotten saved by calling upon the name of the Lord. That's gotten saved. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'll tell you what, when Oscar was here the other day, I love what he said about the Bible when the Jews were calling the apostles on the carpet for preaching the gospel. They said, don't preach in that name, but they couldn't name the name. Too holy. Did you catch that? Too holy. Oh, I'm telling you. I like that. A magnified name. We can thank you for his goodness, his mercy, his holiness. Look in Psalm 119. 119. Look at verse 62. Psalm 119, look at verse 62. We can thank God also for his righteous judgment. Psalm 119, look at verse 62. At midnight I will rise to give thanks. Usually when I'm awakened at midnight, I'm not thinking about being thankful. But the psalmist was. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee, because, see, he's giving the reason why he's thanking God, of thy righteous judgments. You know, God justifies the innocent and punishes the wicked. That's what gave Job's friends such a fit when they came to see Job, because they knew that the condition he was in had to be a punishment from God. And they knew that if it was a punishment of God, then then Job had to have done something wrong, because God is always righteous in his judgment. They just didn't understand what was really going on with Job. Had they understood what was really going on with Job, then it wouldn't have been that way. But they were justifying God when they were accusing Job, and they got the thing messed up. He wasn't punishing Job. That's a whole picture of what's going to happen to Israel during the tribulation. And remarkably, when the thing was over and the trial and temptation was done, he doubled everything to Job, gave him all his kids back. That's not the way you punish somebody. Okay? I thank God that his righteous judgment against sin allowed him to pour out his wrath on his holy son so you and I could be forgiven. And you know the great thing about that is, since he's already punished Jesus Christ for our sins, he will never allow you to have even one second in hell as payment for your sin, because they're already paid out. And that's his righteous judgment. I've already put it on my son. I'm not going to hold you accountable in eternity for sin. You can always count on God. If he executes a judgment, you can just say, thank God, he was right. You know, very infrequently, people go to the court here in the United States and get the right verdict and thank the judge for the verdict when the right verdict is against them. But the truth of the matter is, if you get the right verdict, that's what you're supposed to go to court for. You ought to thank the judge and the jury for the right verdict, even though the verdict was against you. Now, it doesn't work out that way in our judicial system, so people appeal and cry and bellyache and fuss and sue again. Not with God. If you're called into judgment with God, you're going to get the right verdict every single time. Thank God for that. Daniel chapter 2, now you got to go a little deeper into your Old Testament. You're in Psalms, go to the right. You're going to get to the big prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and then the next big prophet, Ezekiel, right after the little book of Lamentations. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, basically. And then right after Ezekiel, Daniel. Daniel chapter 2. Here's the next thing we thank God for. We thank God for answered prayer. Yeah, that's where we are. Daniel chapter 2, look at verse 23. I thank thee, Daniel 2, 23. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. You know, these guys were getting ready, in Daniel chapter 2, verse 23, they're getting ready to get killed, because nobody could tell the king what the dream was and then give the interpretation. He said, man, thank God you gave it to me. I appreciate that. He's thanking God for answered prayer. So I don't really need to spend a lot of time on this particular point except to say, this is what most of us are thanking God for. But may I say this? Make sure when God answers your prayers that you do thank Him. Be better than the other nine lepers. Don't lose track of the things you've asked God to take care of for you, and then when He does take care of them, you're like, oh, I forgot to thank you for that? Thank Him. Thank Him. Having taken a brief stop there, we'll keep going. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now you got to go to the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You say, how long is this? Long as you can stand it. No, actually, I'm just hit each. Yeah, thank God. Amen. You and me both. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf. What for? For the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. You know something, we're constantly asking God for what? Money to pay a bill. God take care of the kids. Give us our daily bread. Keep us out of temptation. Give me a better job. Give me a raise. Give me 5 weeks vacation. Yeah. You know, all the thing. It's like, dear God, Santa Claus. I mean, really? Big list of all the things we want God to do for us. May I tell you something? The longer I watch God do things in your life and the lives of other people, read the Bible, His grace is one of the greatest provisions known to man. Listen, grace of God strengthens you in your weakness. That's what he said. So that's why Paul said, I glory in my infirmities. And when he was with his reproaches and necessities and persecutions and all that, he said, when I am weak, then I am strong. And he glorified God in all those things. We're so quick whenever we are sick to pray, God, heal me. And I'm going to continue to ask Him for that. But sometimes God doesn't answer with the healing, He answers with the grace. And what Paul learned is that asking for His grace to get through that time of weakness is actually a better prayer than asking for the relief. And we're too quick to ask for the thing and not quick enough to ask for His grace. And you know what? Paul said, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. You know something? If you have the grace of God, you can live in a mud hut and you'll be happy. If you have the grace of God, you can drive a broken car and be happy. If you have the grace of God, you can go through a health situation and actually thank God through that because of His grace that you have during that time. So thank Him for His grace. We oftentimes miss that because it doesn't appear to be as tangible as I no longer have fever or I have now the $5 to pay this bill. Those are tangible. But I think the grace of God is also tangible, but oftentimes overlooked. Paul said, don't forget to thank Him for His grace. That's good. 1 Corinthians 15. See, we're not staying too long on each one of these. Second to the last verse, 1 Corinthians 15, second to the last verse, verse 57. But thanks be to God, Paul said. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the thing everybody likes, the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to get out of this world in the same shape you're in right now. I mean, if Jesus comes and you're in health, He's still going to have to change you. But if should the Lord tarry, we're all going to go through death. And you say, how? Every way that men have died before, that's the way men are going to continue to die. Heart attacks, cancer, car wrecks, old age. Just keep going. Kidneys. COPD. Brains. No brains. What? I mean, there's not a way. God doesn't say, okay, this is the way I take out my dear children. This is your exit deal here. You just one day go to sleep and then you don't wake up the next morning. I like that one, you know, if we can get that up to A. I'll take that one. If I have to go one way, you know, I'll do that. But you know, there's no guarantee on any of that stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. No matter how you go out, changed or dying, you got the victory. Do you understand that? You may be behind 0-95 late in the fourth quarter. You're going to win. Everybody wins. Everybody's a winner. That's kind of the day deal, isn't it? You what you are. Everybody is a winner. When we face these things, listen, Christians, I realize there's always that grief and the loss, but man, we ought to somewhere, there ought to be pom-poms in grief somewhere. And we ought to go, woohoo! Boy, another one out of here. Thank God. Got the victory. What'd they get the victory over? Sin. Because when you die, it's over. Death. Because when you die, your deal is sleep, according to the Bible. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What do you get victory over? The grave. It can't hold you. I love doing the funerals. I mean, I know that sounds morbid, but don't misunderstand me. For saved people. I like that. I want them to do gravesides. Memorials, you know, we have to do them from time to time, I understand, but I'm not big into memorials. I mean, there's, you know, rah-rah, he had a good life. I like the traditional. And listen, I realize if you've had to do it or you're going to do it, you're planning that, it's much more cost-effective to do the memorial, do the cremation, be done with it, okay? I got that. But I'm going to tell you, when you've got that casket there, everybody that you're preaching to knows I'm going through that. I'm going that direction. And then you go out to the graveside, and there's a closure to that thing. But I love preaching for a saved person's funeral at that graveside when I can put my hand on that casket and say, death and the grave will not hold these remains. Jesus Christ has given us the victory. These remains are coming up in a glorified body. Amen. You got the victory. Everybody's a winner. You want the last one? You want the last one? Let's go on and do the last one. Philippians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians chapter 1. verse 3. And of all the things that Paul was thankful for, and he was thankful. This is one of the most thankful men you'll ever want to know. You know, he took such a beating and had all these things happen to him, but he sure was thankful. He had the attitude of gratitude. All right? Philippians chapter 1. This is the most common thing in verse 3 that Paul was thankful for. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. He was thankful for the saints. Of all the things he was thanking God for, over and over again in these epistles, he'll say, I thank God when I think of you. I thank God upon every remembrance of you. I thank God for you. He was thankful for the saints. And he was thankful because God had used him to preach the gospel, to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ and save their souls. And he was so thankful for that. Now, it cost him dearly. He had to work and pay his own bills many times. He had to get all the beating and suffering and everything else that he had to go through in order to do that. But that was his joy. That's what he was doing all of that for. And so to see people saved was a charge to him, and he just thanking God over and over again for them getting saved. He was thanking God for the saints. Let me say this as we get close to wrapping this up. Hear me what I say. I thank God for you. I really do. You are an encouragement. You know, you grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thanksgiving. Everybody would have excused you if you'd stayed home. I know you're sorry to hear that now. But yes, it's always next year. But instead, you're here, and you know something? That is an encouragement, and the fellowship of believers together is just good. It really is. There's nobody to preach to if the saints don't show up. And I thank God for you. Let's just conclude it this way. In Budapest, many years ago, a fellow went to his rabbi and he said, I'm done. It's ridiculous, the circumstances I'm in right now. Something is apt to change. Rabbi, what can I do? He said, what's the problem? He said, there are 9 of us living in one room, and I'm sick of it. He said, you have a goat? He said, I got a goat. He said, get the goat to live in the room with you. He said, what? He said, you came here for advice. That's right. Get your goat, put him in the room with you. Come back and see me in a week. The guy came back in a week. He said, you thought it was bad last week when I came here complaining about living with 9 guys. You ought to try living with 9 guys and a goat. He's filthy. That was terrible advice. He said, now take the goat out of the room and come back and see me in a week. He said, just do it. I said, okay. He comes back in a week and he goes, woo, life is great. He said, man, we're having a good time. It's just the 9 of us and no goat. A lot of thankfulness is perspective. Just keep that in mind. A lot of thankfulness is perspective. You're seeing it one way, but you're forgetting it really could be a whole lot worse. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful tonight. And we're thankful that you've given us some instruction from the Scripture on how to be thankful. Christians don't really need a lot of instruction on thankfulness, Father. What we need is reminders. And I pray tonight that we've all been well reminded about the need to be thankful to you for all of your goodness and mercy, your love and provision and your grace. Thank you so much, Father. And I ask you, Lord, to help us to remember this tomorrow when we're sitting around with friends from the church or with family or whatever. I ask you, Lord, to help us to remember why we're celebrating Thanksgiving. We ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.